My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Jim DeMint. He is also one of the lawmakers in Washington most closely affiliated with the Tea Party, so we want to get his thoughts on where he sees the 2012 campaign standing right now, as well as one of the other issues in this campaign that he cares a great deal about and he's even written books about, and that's traditional values. How big of a role will those play in the minds of voters in a year where the economy and now foreign policy seem to be gathering most of the attention? And, sir, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's good to be back.
Well, first of all, before we get on to the campaign, let's talk real briefly about where things stand on Capitol Hill, as for the most part, lawmakers after this week will be focusing mostly on re-election. There won't be much business here in town. What's your sense of how much has been accomplished this year and what still needs to be done, most especially with respect to expiring taxes heading our way at the end of the year?
Greg, I've been in the House and the Senate now for 14 years. I've never seen a year that we have done less with so many important things in front of us. We do need to extend the tax rates, and the Republicans have done that in the House, but Harry Reid has not taken it up in the Senate, and the president has said he will not support it unless we increase taxes. We haven't done anything to address the entitlements of Social Security and Medicare, and the Democrat policies have those on a course of bankruptcy, despite what they say. They're running those two programs into a ditch, and there are huge cuts scheduled for our military, our defense systems. The president hasn't led on that at all, so it's frankly been very frustrating, particularly now that they have decided we're not going to do anything and go home and campaign and come back after the election and try to do all this in a lame duck session with people who have not been reelected, and hopefully with a president who hadn't been reelected too. So it's been a frustrating time to be there, but it really has created more of a sense of urgency for me to elect more conservative senators and to elect a new president.
One of the things that drove the Tea Party movement, of course, was the amount of spending and the rapidly growing federal debt, of course, that eclipsed $16 trillion right around the time of the Democratic National Convention. That's one of the reasons Republicans got control of the House and made substantial gains in the Senate. We saw just last week that for the next 6 months, House Republican leaders are hoping to keep spending the same. I talked to lawmakers on both sides, and they say it's just not a time where anybody really wants to deal with the threat of a government shutdown right before the election. What's your sense on how much has been accomplished over the past 2 years in terms of tackling the debt?
Unfortunately, we have not been able to cut any spending, and even the things they talk about as cuts are generally slowing in the rate of increased spending. And every time we try to cut something in any kind of spending bill, the Democrats threaten a government shutdown because they believe the public and the media will blame Republicans for doing that. So it's been a very frustrating position to be in because the Democrats have controlled the Senate for 6 years, the White House for 4 years, and the House four out of the last 6 years. Yet the media still seems to blame Republicans for what's not getting done.
Senator, you also spoke last week at the Value Voter Summit, sponsored by the Family Research Council. And as I mentioned in the introduction, you've even written a book about the importance of preserving traditional American values and championing them in the public square. Obviously, the economy, if you look at every poll, and rightly so, is the issue of great concern to the voters this year. And now, of course, in the last week, a lot of renewed concern about our role in the Middle East and our policies there. Do you feel that values issues are being squeezed out of the debate this year, or do you think they're still going to play a major factor?
I think what this administration has done will energize the values voters all over the country. And many value voters understand that our fiscal problems are directly related to the decline in values in our culture. A lot of the money we spend in Washington is to help families where the families have broken up and they have children, and this is getting worse every year. The unwed birth rate now is past 40%. That wouldn't be happening if the government wasn't paying people to do it, and that's a huge problem. But I think value voters also understand that debt is a moral issue, and we cannot continue to put this huge burden of debt onto our children and grandchildren, and that's what we're doing in order to get people reelected. They keep spending money and making promises that we don't have the money to keep, and The debt is a problem, but the Federal Reserve, what they're doing now, which I call quick and easy forever, is basically what they're doing, is printing money, buying debt, and that, frankly, is probably more dangerous to our future than even the national debt.
And I alluded to it a couple of times. I want to give him a good plug here for his book, the senator's book on moral issues that he wrote back in 2007. It's called Why We Whisper, Restoring Our Right to Say It's Wrong. He's got a couple others since then, including Saving Freedom and The Great American Awakening. Let's talk a little bit now about something you just alluded to a little while ago, and that's your efforts to restore a Republican majority to the U.S. Senate. When you first got elected as part of a pretty good Republican year in 2004, there was a 55-45 split, and now, of course, In the intervening time, at one point, the president had a filibuster-proof majority. The 2010 elections brought that to a much narrower lead for the Democrats, and you need three to take over control if the Republicans win the White House, four if they don't. Where do you see as your greatest pickup opportunities? Most seem to think you've got two pretty easily in North Dakota and Nebraska, but you'll probably lose one in Maine. So that gives you a plus one net right there. So where do you go after that?
Well, Greg, I appreciate you asking because I really think the Senate is as important as the presidency. And if we don't get the majority, then it's going to be very difficult for President Romney to get anything done. And I've got the Senate Conservatives Fund. Anyone who wants to help us elect conservative senators can go to senateconservatives.com. I think we have an opportunity to pick up a seat in Wisconsin. Perhaps Virginia with George Allen. Florida looks more like a long shot, but if Romney runs well in Florida, we have a shot there. We're in Ohio. Josh Mandel running against Sherrod Brown, one of the most liberal Democrats. He has pulled virtually even in the polls. You mentioned Nebraska. We have a good shot of winning there in North Dakota. I think we'll hold some seats like Indiana, where Richard Murdoch is a great conservative, Jeff Flake in Arizona. So we still have, I think, better than a 50-50 chance. When people start paying attention and really look at where we are now and where they want to go to take the majority, and hopefully, as I tell people all over the country, if Republicans get the majority in the presidency, we need to keep our promises this time.
Let me ask you about one other seat that until recently had been trending very strongly for the Republicans. And obviously there's been a controversy in Missouri with Todd Akin's comments where he referred to quote-unquote legitimate rape. He since apologized for that, decided to stay in the race, much to the chagrin of the establishment. As a leading Tea Party figure, what's your reaction to his decision to stay in the race, and do you think it's still winnable for the GOP?
Well, that's a tough one. Todd is a good man. He served Missouri and the country well in the House for a long time. And he doesn't say things like this. So he made a bad mistake. It's hard to explain it. In the primary there, we had three good conservatives. I did not get involved in that race. I think Tea Party members split their votes three ways there. So Todd's not necessarily the Tea Party candidate there. It was just we had three good candidates. I think he's got a few more days if he wants to get out and give someone else a chance. I'm just not sure. He has asked forgiveness from his state, but the polls indicate he's lagging far behind. I don't know what would have happened, Greg, if Republicans didn't pounce on him the moment he made that mistake to give him a chance to try to work his way out of that. But a few days after he had done that, just about every prominent Republican had said he needs to get out of the race. I certainly wasn't involved in any kind of public way, but I'm concerned about it, and I don't know what the right thing to do is now, but I guess given all the fallout, I still hope Todd will consider getting out for the good of the country. But if he doesn't, I hope Republicans will rally and support him.
Assuming that he doesn't leave the race, so what's your best, most shrewd prediction on what the margin in the Senate will look like once all the votes are counted this year?
I'm just hoping that we get 51 Republicans, so I'm not expecting any more than that. And unless this is like a Reagan election where people start paying attention down the stretch and really see where this economy is going, where what the president has done to project weakness all over the world and what that's doing to create chaos not only in the Middle East but virtually everywhere. So I'm hoping for 51. I'm praying that God will really give all Americans wisdom as we look at our future, and hopefully we'll get a chance to turn this thing around.
And Romney versus Obama?
I still believe Romney will win this. I can't imagine that there are 51% of Americans who can look at what this president has done and choose to reelect him.
We'll certainly be watching, as I know you will, sir. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
South Carolina Republican Senator Jim DeMint, a prominent figure in the Tea Party movement in his second term from South Carolina. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.